Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry. And this was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that is never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me because there was no one to show you how at the time. Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be speaking about good works. This message is for those who have a heart after God and want to please God. This message is dedicated to those who want to fulfill God's plan in their lives and finish their race. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you want to come to God and please him, then whatever you're doing must be done in faith. Faith is trusting God. Paul is saying that two things are important here. Number one, that you believe he is God. And that means you believe God is love and God is light. You can seek him for commands without any fear. Number two, to diligently seek and knock, and you will find truth by the Spirit. Jesus is the truth. God cannot be tempted or corrupted, and you will not find absolute truth anywhere else. Works and faith cannot be separated. James said in James chapter 2 and verse 17, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. The same verse in the Amplified says, so also, faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, or dead. Anything that's not directed by God is a dead work. Paul said in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. A solid foundation includes repentance from dead works. Some go back to doing dead works after they're born again. Dead works include bad works, but also good works that God did not direct you to do. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, I'm reading. This is Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. You will depart from evil through conviction and repentance as you are led by the Spirit. Our direction starts with trusting God. Being led by the Spirit is part of living in the light. As you follow him, you learn as well and recognize more and more what was directed by the flesh in the past. You might want to stop and try and hide instead. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19, 20, and 21, I'm reading. This is John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes into the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's direction for your life starts with trusting God. Trusting God is faith in God, not in your own selves. If you trust God, you will not lean to your own understanding, because this is the opposite of trusting God. Then you will acknowledge Him in all your ways and not do your own works again. When God directs, He will also give you the faith you need to hear and obey God along the way. Paul said in Romans 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He provides everything else needed, since He is God and He is the word. So there is no excuse for not obeying His command or following His instruction. Paul said in Hebrews 4 and 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. By grace now, we can ask God what to do and get an answer. If you're wise in your own eyes, then you will not ask God and end up on a way that seems right instead. We read in Proverbs chapter 16. I'm reading from verses 25 to 33. This is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 26. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craves it of him. Verse 27. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Verse 28, a froward man sows strife, and whisperer separates chief friends. Verse 29, a violent man entices his neighbor and leads him into a way that is not good. Verse 30, he shutteth his eyes to devise froward things, moving his lips he brings evil to pass. Verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. Verse 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that rules his spirit than he that taketh a city. Verse 33, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Go slowly at the beginning, following God's direction, and you will avoid dead works. Do not make excuses for sinning because of time. For you to do a dead work, you have to use your mind and be Lord of your own life. Bad fruit will keep appearing if you lean to your understanding. The Lordship of Jesus Christ is the only solution for sin. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 19, nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. If you belong to the Lord, then you will not stay the same. Iniquity starts when you stop obeying the truth. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. Christ did the works of the Father and went all the way to the cross. The foolish Galatians were keeping the law instead, which was giving them a feeling of being righteous, but they were deceiving themselves. Truth is based on His Spirit bearing witness, not on a feeling of emotions and having a form of righteousness gained by keeping rules. The truth is a person, and you're supposed to be following Christ, not a written code. We read in John 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus said again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You will receive truth from God from the moment you start living in the light. Truth is not knowledge. When you hear truth, it brings conviction. Truth includes an alarm to warn you that you are now walking in darkness and using your reasoning instead. Then you have grace and a set amount of time to repent. When you decide to obey the truth, the Spirit of God will help you. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 16 and verse 13, Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. You cannot claim this promise here unless you have taken up your cross and are following Christ. If you believe in God and you know he is the truth, you can instantly obey him because God is always right. Follow Jesus because he has the master key to life and you will not fail. If God explained everything to you, then you probably would still not understand it. But you don't need to understand everything to walk in the light. Jesus also said to his disciples in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30, For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus is the judge, and he will rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. But he says, you can learn directly from him now. Few employees get trained directly by the big boss. But God can communicate with more than 6 billion people all at the same time. Jesus is Lord of the kingdom, but he also lowered himself and became a servant. He is willing to train you if you will listen and submit to the Holy Spirit completely. God's ways are very different. For example, in the kingdom, the greatest is the least. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 11, But he that is the greatest among you shall be your servant. You learn in the kingdom by being yoked to Jesus. This is the easy way. The hard way is trying to make decisions based on what you know. In business, people are taught to gather information first in order to make an informed decision. Making decision with your mind looks right in the world's eyes, but this is carnal. God knows the end from the beginning. He knows whether something should be attempted or not. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from some other words, but it means unapproved. It can mean rejected, worthless. You become a castaway and rejected. You must examine yourself and see if you're still asking God everything. Also examine yourself by looking at your fruit. If your doctrinal beliefs are right, then everything else will be okay. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 to 20, You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Verse 17, Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. Verse 18, A good tree cannot bring forth evil, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Verse 19, every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Everything you are doing is a product of your faith. Even the fruit of the Spirit is a product of you being led by the Spirit, which requires daily trust or faith. You cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit with dead works or dead faith. James says in James chapter 2, verses 18, 19, and 20, yea, a man say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me my faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. Verse 20, but will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? If you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord now, then you will make every effort to hear his voice now and obey now. Those who believe with their mind will deceive themselves. James here said, believing with your own mind is vain or empty or lifeless. What you believe in your heart is what you do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, I'm reading verses 11 to 20. This is Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man, but that which comes out of his mouth. This is what defiles a man. Verse 12. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? Verse 13. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Verse 14, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Verse 15, then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable. Verse 16, and Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? Verse 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? Verse 18. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. Verse 19. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Verse 20. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. The disciples recorded another example for us who are still trying to understand the things of God using their natural minds. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Using your mind, you cannot come to truth, so you'll end up believing lies all the time. You are perhaps even trying to understand the things of God before you accepted Christ, and you did not find truth using your mind. So how will you find truth now by going back to the flesh? Before you were first born again, you were trapped in sin and serving the devil. You should have been fully convinced that there was nothing good in you and made him Lord of your life. You are not saved by making a religious prayer or just repeating certain words. Christianity is not just another religion. It is based on making Jesus Lord and obeying the Spirit of truth. You are supposed to keep looking at your fruit just in case. Either you're asking God everything and hearing his voice, or You're in the flesh spiritualizing your own dead works. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Jesus Christ comes inside of you, first by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. But if the Spirit of God is not directing things, then there is no conviction and the Holy Spirit is not really dwelling in you. Be honest. How can you do the works of God without the Holy Spirit? In the Amplified Bible, James chapter 2 verse 20 says, are you willing to be shown proof, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually unproductive fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive and ineffective and worthless? James' messages were confrontational, and preaching like this might explain why he was one of the first apostles killed in the persecution that started in Jerusalem. Those who have just an outward form of righteousness do not want to come into the light and be exposed and made uncomfortable. If you do not have a personal relationship with God and He is not the functional Lord of your life, then your works are worthless. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verses 47 to 49, I'm reading, this is Luke chapter 6 and verse 47. Whosoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you to whom he is like. Verse 48. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundations on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 49. But he that hears and does not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. All those who are doing dead works will perish. You have to hear God to please Him and find out what He wants you to do first. Your words should be in direct response to the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 4. This is Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Verse 3. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Are you planning to meet the bridegroom? If you are, then you need to take the oil with you and rely on the Holy Spirit. James continues in James chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. I'm reading. This is James chapter 2 and verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Verse 22. Seest thou that how faith wrought with his works and by works was faith made perfect? Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. James is saying here that faith without works is not enough to be a friend of God. Abraham did what he did in response to what God told him to do and not do. And that is why he was justified and declared a friend of God. The word friend in Strong's is number 5384 and is properly meaning dear. That is a friend. Somebody actively you're fond of. That is friendly. A neighbor or an associate. Jesus calls his disciples servants at the beginning of his ministry. But in the upper room, he said this. He said in John chapter 15 and verses 13 to 16. This is John chapter 15 and verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. Verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, but for the servant knows not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. If you want to be a friend of God like Abraham, you have to be willing to do what Abraham did. Abraham said in Genesis chapter 23 and verse 4, I am a stranger, a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burial place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight. Abraham had no certain dwelling place. The psalmist said in Psalm 39 and 12, hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, and as all my fathers were. You have to be a sojourner too in this world if you are living by faith. Paul said in Hebrews 11, 8 to 10, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing where he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You cannot be a friend of the world and be a friend of Jesus. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You have to follow Jesus before you become a friend. Jesus said in Luke 9, 23 to 25, I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25, for what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? You can also be a friend of Jesus. I suggest number one, you deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Number two, be baptized in water. Number three, abide in his word and follow the teachings of Jesus. Number four, keep the commands of Jesus. Number five, do not resist the Holy Spirit. Number six, keep following Jesus even in the face of some opposition. Number seven, rely on the Holy Spirit to direct you and ask for whatever you need to carry out his instructions and be faithful. For more information on how to be a friend of Jesus, please read the book My Friends Obey My Voice by Joseph Hitchcock. If you listen to the doctrines and ideas of men, you could become a castaway. Modern worship songs can deceive you, and you may think you are a friend of God and a friend of Jesus when you're not. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. What we need today is sound teaching, or otherwise your faith just dies because it's no longer in the truth. Paul said to Titus in Titus chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be found in the faith. Verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. If you have turned from sound teaching and do not experience any conviction, then your faith is already dead. Then you will not be justified. James continues in James chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. This is James chapter 2 and verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Verse 25. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Rahab was a harlot, but she repented and helped Israel. She was justified by doing something based on her newfound faith. The promised land that Israel was possessing belonged to other nations that had run out of grace. In those rebellious nations, sin had increased, and they were unwilling to repent and live. Do not be deceived. Those nations were not justified in the sight of God. God does not have two standards. Paul even said to the church in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to stop sinning at some point. Sin has a consequence, but if you make Jesus Lord and obey the Spirit, you will save yourself. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Doing the work that God commands is evidence of your repentance. Keeping his commandments is sowing to the Spirit. John said in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The word know here means to know somebody through personal experience. We get to know him by keeping his commands. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If you're not sowing to the Spirit, then you are sowing to the flesh. There's only two options. Rahab in the Bible will even judge many who call Jesus Lord today in the church, but do not listen to his voice and do what he says. In my training, when I was in the flesh, I was corrected and told that I should have been listening rather than talking. We read in Job chapter 11 and verse 2, should not the multitudes of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified? You will never be justified by many words. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will be left behind. David said in Psalms 51 and verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. In the Amplified Bible, James chapter 2 and verse 24 says this, you see that a man is justified, pronounced righteous before God through what he does, and not alone through faith, through works of obedience as well as what he believes. The word justified in Strong's is number 1344. It's taken from another word which means to render, or that is to show or regard as just or innocent, freely to be justified or made righteous. If you are justified in the sight of God, then it's just as if you never sinned. God can only treat you this way if you show by your actions that you are dead to self and alive unto God through the Spirit and have established Him as Lord of your life. Paul explained in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 to 20, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 17. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is therefore the Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Verse 18. If I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Verse 19. For through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. People do not want to hear that you have to be crucified with Christ to be justified, or that you have to make him Lord. Those who are foolish have just asked him to be their Savior, and that is all. Jesus said in John 15, I'm reading from verses 5 to 8. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 15. I'm starting in verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches. And he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. And if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. And if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Hereunto is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, for so shall you be my disciples. You need to realize that you can do no good thing without abiding in the vine. Without him as the source and the Holy Spirit directing, your works are ineffective and worthless. Paul had a personal relationship with Christ and was determined to obey Christ, whatever the cost. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul was suffering not because of some wrongdoing. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. The suffering because of obeying Christ will result in eternal glory when Christ appears. You do not let the fear of suffering stop you from seeking God for commands. Paul also said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When you are godly, you hear from God and do what he says. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Persecution in this world is a confirmation of the fact that you have repented from dead works and following Christ. You were once ungodly, like those who are now trying to make things difficult for you. However, your determination to follow Christ helps others to see that you have changed within. Persecution is not without some consolation when you see others changing too because of your example and resolve to obey the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 5 all the way to verse 10, I'm reading. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm starting in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Verse 6, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also of the consolation. Verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. You have to be a follower of Christ first, and when you're ready, God will prepare the foundation to handle whatever comes. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Paul also said that God's power and grace was sufficient for him. Others might even think that God has abandoned you because of what you're going through when you follow Christ. But Paul had one desire. He said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, I'm reading Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul was working out his salvation in fear and trembling. He said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Cannot be saved by doing works of any kind, as otherwise you could boast. If you could be saved by works, then you would no longer need a Savior, and Christ died in vain. But his death on the cross of Calvary reconnected you to God. so we could hear his voice and obey the Holy Spirit and do the works of the Father he planned for us instead. We read in the book of Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. This is Isaiah 59. I'm starting in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Verse 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It was the death of Christ that took away the barrier of sin that separated God and man. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, I'm reading. This is the epistle of John, first epistle, chapter 2, and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Verse 2. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word propitiation in Strong's is number 2434. It means atonement, or that is an expiator. To atone for something means to pay for it. The death of Christ included a payment. All your sin was put on him, and the wrath of God came on him, and he died in your place. You were the sinner, but you were set free if you believe. He paid the price so you could have access to God by faith to do the will of the Father and stop sinning. John said in 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Some argue that we do not have to confess our sins since Christ died for all. But how will your sins be forgiven if you do not follow the instructions in the Bible? A young minister of music once said, if you're trying to believe God for something, do not just pull something out of the air and try and believe for it. First, find clear, plain scripture for what you want and put your faith in the Word of God, not some bright idea. Christ paid such a high price. If the sin could be forgiven without doing anything else, then why is the wrath of God still increasing? Hell would not be needed. A message that you do not have to confess your sin is very nice, or that you don't have to deny yourself and take up your cross to be justified. These kind of messages would not attract any persecution. Some might even sin more with the knowledge that Christ died in their place. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. When you confess your sin, that shows your faith is not dead, but acting on the instructions given in the written word. It proves your faith is not dead. Your faith is in his word, not your own idea. If you are following instructions and doing what you're told, you will be justified and declared righteous. If you fail to obey, you will not be justified. If you have your own ideas, then you are serving the devil. So the one who says you do not need to confess your sin is a liar. And he is working for the devil. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those who live in Christ are also getting to know Christ and do not experience condemnation because they are submitted to the Spirit. to establish that relationship. They have made him Lord. You start by denying yourself and taking up your cross. You are willing to learn and be led by the Spirit. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Either you are following Jesus with an active faith by hearing his voice, or your faith is dead and you are serving the devil. Do not be deceived. There is no third choice. The devil will control you and keep you tormented day and night in this life through fear and anxiety. If you obey Satan even a little, then he will not leave you alone. Instead, a spirit of fear will get stronger and stronger. But the judgment is coming. And we read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." God is the judge and will not be mocked by anyone else, including the devil. Jude said in Jude chapter 1 and verse 6, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." All the angels who followed the devil will also be judged. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If God could be mocked, he would no longer be the judge. He has decided everyone will reap what he has sown, including the devil. Paul continues in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." If you do not like what you are reaping, change your sowing. If you are born again, then you have an option at least to sow to the Spirit. But if you are not hearing his voice or led by the Spirit, how can you sow to the Spirit? If you are born again, start seeking God for commands and instructions. The word "sow" in Strong's is number 4687. And it's probably strengthened from another word, which is the idea of extending or to scatter or to sow, literally or figuratively. Sowing is an action that you cannot do without reaping. God designed man to bless others by passing on something godly and perfect. We get blessed too in this process, to enjoy more of God, because we are the channel of his goodness. You reap what was sowed, even though his goodness did not originate from you, but came by the Spirit. That is amazing. God is not selfish, but he does get the glory as this goes back to him. It is a privilege to have his goodness flow through us. Godly sowing can only be done in the Spirit by following his instructions and obeying them by faith. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11 to 14, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. "For no other foundation can a man lay that is already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Verse 12. "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble." Verse 13. "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Verse 14. "If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward." Everything will be tested by fire. All outward acts of self sacrifice and miracles based on God's calling will not deceive the Lord when he appears. The judgment will be based on the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 22 and 23, he said in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Man without God is basically selfish. God is the one delaying the final judgment to give everyone a chance to stop sowing to the flesh the wrong way and live the right way by depending on his every word. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus came and fulfilled the law, overcame the cross, and also paid the price so that we could have access to the truth through the Holy Spirit. He gave us grace too, so that we can work on our sins and come to repentance. John said in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, I'm reading verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. Since the beginning, everything has come through the Word. Nothing has existed without the Word. Even our salvation came through the Word. Jesus is the Word. We also did not arrive on this planet without the Word. We should also not be functioning without the Word. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 6 to 9. I'm reading verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God controls time. The moment you repent, he can speed everything up so that you benefit from sowing to the Spirit and reap quickly. But if you sin, he slows everything down so that you do not reap the consequences of sin. And it may seem like God is taking a thousand years with you. Nevertheless, you are slowing yourself down because you have not repented of dead works. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 12, for you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. When Jesus comes back, the earth will be restored in a short time using just a few saints. Obeying his instructions, the earth will be a paradise again. Jesus will demonstrate what could have happened now on the earth in a short time. You can also start now because his kingdom is here now by the Spirit. Paul said in Romans 14 and 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Jesus is Lord now. He is ruling now, and the kingdom of God is here now by the Spirit. So we should expect his word and see the effects of the word. We read in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, This is Isaiah 55 and verse 10. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not again, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing where I send it. God is faithful, sending out his word for every child of his. We read in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 17, starting in verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. Verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And in verse 3, it says, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Through the gift of eternal life, I can hear, obey, and get to know God by grace through faith. Eternal life is a gift received by grace through faith. I do not deserve this gift, but I get to know him by abiding in his presence. He is speaking now, so you should be determined to keep the faith by obeying the Spirit and let God provide his way of escape, not doing anything of the flesh. If you try to follow the instructions without getting to know God, then you will end up in the flesh. Getting to know him is part of doing the works he has planned for you to do. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 to 16, I'm reading. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14, that thou keepest this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 15, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 16, who only have immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Timothy was facing a situation because of his high calling and was tempted to take matters into his own hands. Paul also said to him in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul was telling Timothy not to compromise and wait for the Lord to deliver him. Paul also was busy at that time, doing what the Spirit was telling him to do. Paul was writing many letters, even in prison. You should always be busy doing what you hear by the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. In the Amplified Bible, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen or relax our courage and faint. In Strong's, the word faint is number 1590. Some other words, which means to relax literally or figuratively. Faint means relax. You do not have to take a holiday from sowing goodness and doing the will of God. If you doubt, everything will stop anyway, as we live by faith and on the answers He provides. Doing something else is based on selfishness, pride, and unbelief. James says in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, "Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted." Verse 10, "But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away." Verse 11, "For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways." God's solution does not come from money. God's solution comes by obeying the Spirit that may involve righteous mammon. Whatever you can see and buy with money is temporal. In the congregation, some were rich and some were poor. And James says that even if you are rich, you will not be rich for long. There is a saying like this in Africa. In Africa, those who had a hand in your upbringing want to regularly remind you in what way they helped you on your way to financial success. This is called the extended family in Africa. In the church, it's very different. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19. I'm reading 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Verse 18. "That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate." Verse 19. "Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." The rich people were not to be idle with giving and investing in others who were following Christ. Jesus taught in Luke chapter 16 and verse 11, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Timothy was a disciple of Paul, and he was the one who had to pray and know where the greatest need was. The rich had to donate the money and leave it with him. Timothy was not to use the money personally. The rich people were starting to control the church already. But James said in James chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, he said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him?" Verse 6. "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats?" In the first church, those who really repented and wanted to help brought their money and the gifts they wanted to give to the needy and laid it at the apostles' feet. We read in Acts chapter 4 and verse 35, "And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." It was only the apostles who decided where the greatest need was, not someone who was non-spiritual. Those who came to the church had to be challenged with all wickedness. Everyone had to understand that Jesus is Lord now. Jesus is Lord of all, and everyone should participate in some way. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." The apostles knew by the Spirit that some were lying and cheating or in the flesh. "Pray if you should give to those who beg. Now everyone should go and submit to church somewhere and take a job and hear the gospel. We read in Acts chapter 3, verses 4 to 8. I'm reading. This is Acts chapter 3 and verse 4. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." Verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Once the church was formed, the apostles continued teaching and assigned certain men to wait and feed the hungry. The apostles did not take anything for themselves from these funds. We read in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch." The apostles chose Stephen and other men filled with the Holy Spirit. These were disciples who challenged those coming for food. Later, Stephen was stoned to death for preaching at the tables and feeding the poor. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Verse 16. "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." Doing good in this verse is in the context of worshiping God. However, true worship and praise also had to include something else. In other words, you cannot just call Jesus Lord and forget the needs of others in the church. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 29 and 30. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 29. "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Verse 30. "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Everything that you have in your possession should be there not because you went and bought it or wanted it for yourself. It should have come from following Jesus. If you do have possessions or worldly gain by deception, repent. As part of your restitution, you may need to return those items. Also, you might bring some items to the church as part of your repentance from dead works. God may tell you to sell some items and give the money to the poor instead. Do this first. We read in Matthew 19 and verse 21. "And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Jesus said this to a very rich young Jewish ruler. Paul is saying to be discerning, as there are others following Christ who have daily needs. James also says in James chapter 4 and verse 17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." John Wesley one day walked to his mother and asked, "Mum, define sin for me." Her answer was this: "Whatsoever weakens your reasoning, impairs the tenderness of your conscience, obscures your sense of God, or takes away your relish for spiritual things, in short, if anything increases the authority of the flesh over the spirit, that to you becomes sin, however good it is in itself. I belong to the body. If I have something to sow, I pass it on as the Holy Spirit directs. Everything I have came from God anyway. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 38 to 40, I'm starting in verse 38. This is the first and great commandment, verse 39, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Love without works is also dead. Paul said in Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Paul said at the start of his letter to the Romans, he said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. James said in James chapter 2 and verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. You are responsible for what you believe. Paul said in Titus chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Verse 16, and they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. You cannot claim to know God and not do the works of God. To not do what he tells you to do, you have to deny him. John Wesley said, employ whatever God has entrusted you with in doing good or possible good in every possible kind and degree. If you're not following Christ today, start by denying yourself and taking up your cross. In some countries, people join the church just to get food if they know the church is sponsored elsewhere. But Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 6 and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. Money attracts the wrong people. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Doing good works is not possible without hearing from God. In the book Light, in the chapter Hindrances to Faith, Joseph Edgecott says on page 75, you must lay aside all weights and sins in your life. Most believers are unwilling to get rid of the weights in their lives, even though they may be willing to repent of the obvious sins. However, anything that comes between you and God's perfect will needs to be removed. Weights are often not sinful in and of themselves, but if they make you settle for less than God's best, they are costing you in the spiritual realm. Good is the enemy of best. Most believers never move into the faith walk and deeper realms of the Spirit because they covet good things that are easy to attain instead of totally denying themselves and becoming true disciples of Christ. They tend to make themselves comfortable for their flesh, rather than totally mortifying it for the sake of obedience. It is not enough to see something that needs doing and just do it. Your carnal nature should be dead. Doing something without asking God will make you like a god, deciding between good and evil. This happened immediately after the fall of man. We read in Genesis chapter 3, Verse 22, and the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. In the book Sound Doctrine, in chapter 6, on Two Ways to God, Joseph Hedgecott says on page 47, some of you may never have done much evil. You may have been good all the time. Do you realize that Jesus had to die and pay the same price for you as the person who is doing obviously evil? He had to die for the good and the evil. Those of you who have read My Sheep Hear My Voice have read the description of the carnal nature and the spiritual nature using the two trees in the Garden of Eden. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And the tree of life represents the spirit and the nature of Christ. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents the flesh. The root of flesh is pride. The root of the tree of life is humility. Notice that the only tree in the garden that was forbidden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't the tree of evil and the tree of good. It was only one tree. The knowledge of both good and evil was forbidden. As Christians, evil is not the only enemy of being the best we can be in God. Good, not evil, is the enemy of best. I might not fall for evil, but I will fall for good if I'm in the flesh. You can be in what I call spiritualized flesh. In that place, you will do things that are good. You will fall for ways that seem right, and that is what this teaching is all about. You should not even think about what is good and what is evil. Any work that is not from God, it is not directed by Him, it is based on pride and therefore evil. For more information on works of spiritualized flesh and ways that seem right, please read the book, The Gilded Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecott. If you want to help the poor, get under somebody to help you repent and get submitted to the body of Christ first. God has to prepare you for a good work. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 to 21, I'm reading, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21. And if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. You cannot prepare yourself, but you can submit to God, and through conviction, you can repent and cleanse yourself, ready for any good work. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. I'm reading Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. You cannot do the work of the Lord without getting to know Him. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he said, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is critical for young people today. Paul said in Titus chapter 2 and verses 6 to 8, I'm reading. This is Titus chapter 2 and verse 6. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Paul says to be fit for the master's use through repentance and self-denial. He must be Lord of all, otherwise good becomes evil. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The works that bring glory to God are the works he preordained you to do, not your own efforts. We read in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5, says, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. We serve a jealous God. We read in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 14, for thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord whose name is jealous is a jealous God. God wants you to do good works, but it has to be energized and directed by the Holy Spirit. Paul also prayed in Hebrews 13, 20 to 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing and in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Hebrews 13, verse 21, the word good in Strong's is number 18. It's just a primary word. It means good or beneficial. Paul's prayer for perfection included the saints doing all kinds of good, but not all at once. Paul said this to those who had made Jesus Lord. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What God starts, he will finish. Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul is using a different word that is translated as good. In Strong's, it is number 2570. It is of uncertain affinity, means beautiful, but chiefly or figuratively good, literally or morally, but it means valuable or virtuous or useful. By implication, it also means fair, good, honest, well, worthy, valuable, beautiful, and eternal. This word good, meaning valuable, is used in Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, Matthew chapter 5, and verse 16, Matthew chapter 7, verses 18 to 19, Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, Matthew chapter 13, verse 8, Matthew chapter 13, 23 to 24, Matthew chapter 13, verse 27, Matthew chapter 13, 37 to 38, Matthew chapter 13, verse 45, and Matthew 13, verse 48. By implication, it means healthy, wholesome, valuable, fit for the master's use. The word evil in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 is number 2556. It is apparently a primary word meaning worthless. By implication, it means also depraved or injurious, bad, evil, harmful, or even wicked. You should be sensing in the spirit if your works are just natural, dangerous, or eternal. Paul is saying, examine yourself. God is not asking you to go back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you should be able, by the Holy Spirit, to know what is pleasing and what is worthless. You should sense in your spirit whether a work is temporal or eternal. We are not talking about doing something vain, but doing something valuable that has eternal gain. Look up some of those verses where his word good in Strong's number 2570 is translated into good in Matthew's Gospel. God has called you to be a lighthouse for those who are shipwrecked in the storms of life. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 and 15, I'm reading Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. You should be living an example of the wisdom of God. You can only help others if you can rescue your own self from the carnal nature with the precious promises of God. Living in the kingdom of God is like living in the eye of a hurricane. There is a perfect calmness in the middle. If you have not overcome sin, you may have lost your saltiness. Your failures will not glorify God, but when you humble yourself and the world sees you do a work that pleases God, they will recognize that this was only possible by listening to God, and they will praise him. Your works should not be based on thinking. You should have been convinced at salvation that nothing good lives in you. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good, I find not. The mind may not recognize what is good, but do not be deceived. You will end up doing evil without God. This is the law of sin and death. The more you look, the less you see. Paul said, in Romans chapter 7, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners, and he wanted to have a clear conscience before God and man. He achieved this not by feeling guilty and throwing himself into the work. He relied on the Spirit to give him acts of sacrifice and saw the grace of God at work. He became a living sacrifice. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You could be part of his government now. You will have a guaranteed job for eternity if he is the functional Lord of your life now. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 to 29, I'm reading. Revelation chapter 2, verse 26. And he that overcomes, keeps my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. Verse 29, and he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. The morning star is an angel. So when you get up in the morning, he will be there to assist the work that needs to be done every morning for 1,000 years. Angels will assist you as the earth is restored again under the functional lordship of Jesus Christ. This will not be a desk job where you need a computer. You will have an angel instead. You came to this earth to do the will of God. God is on your side. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that by grace through faith we are his workmanship. When we are abiding in Christ, you're doing good works, but you are also in a process of correction and chastening. He is not ashamed to call you brother or sister if you are submitting to him and changing. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Through the sanctification process, we grow spiritually. You learn obedience and then become a son of God. As you stay submitted to him and are being led by the Spirit, you will bring glory to God. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hinchcock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on the narrow path with daily and regular repentance, I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from the truth that is available now by the Spirit. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. This message today is about the possibility to do the very works of God. We have been chosen, if you're born again, to go through a cleansing, to go through a cleaning, that God can use us. Let's not resist the Holy Spirit and what he's doing in us. It is guaranteed that this work is going to bring glory and honor to him, and we will receive the crown of life that's been promised to all those who love him and love his appearing. We are so privileged to be channels of this goodness. And now we are being called to good works that he has preordained for us to do. Don't close your ears to anything that God is telling you to do. Open your hearts right now and know that you are a new creation with the possibility to do the very perfect, pleasing will of God by faith and choose life. Let me pray with you right now. Father in heaven, for all those who've heard this message today, I pray that you will pour upon them that faith that comes as they hear you. You promised in your word that through hearing, we would get faith. And Father, that faith, as it multiplies in them, that they will do exceedingly more than they can think or imagine and please you. And do the works that you have planned them to do from the very foundation of the earth. We give you thanks for this message today. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to stay in touch with the ministry, the contact details will follow, and there will be a summary of all the scriptures that have been mentioned today. God bless you. In Jesus' name.